Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
We're with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. We are knee-deep in Jeremiah, amazing book of Jeremiah. It has everything applicable to your Christian life today. Don't ever let them tell you the Old Testament is something that doesn't apply. It's all here from the birth of Christ, his ministry, the end days, millennial times. Chapter 11 now. And you're going to see something that presents itself during Jesus' time too. The Levites and the priests here in chapter 11. They want Jeremiah dead.
Just stop talking.
At the time of Christ, they wanted Jesus dead because they don't like what comes out of either one of these guys' mouths. The word of God is irritating to evil.
Very well put.
Yeah, what Christ tell the priest, I know your father, the father of lies. Mm-hmm. You are the seed of the serpent. And they knew what he was saying because they immediately responded with, we are not children of fornication. That goes back to the garden and the two children in the womb of Eve, one of the seed of the serpent and one of the seed of Adam. Catch episode one on WVFF, WVFFradio.com, and catch up with us starting here in chapter 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and speak unto the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. All right, I'm going to give you some words. Go and warn them again. Say thou to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, cursed be the man that obeyeth not the words of his covenant. He's talking about the second covenant, the law, Levitical law. First covenant was given to Abraham, an everlasting covenant. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The law was given in anger because they refused to follow God and have the freedom of a spiritual relationship. So he gave them something they could do with their hands to mimic attempting to follow him. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I commanded you. So shall ye be my people, and I will be your God. You wouldn't do it the easy way, so I'm put the law on you. And you can do things with your hands, and I will watch you do them and judge whether you're earnest or not. You know, it's like beginning a job. You know, you maybe not know what the whole job is, but you're kind of in there. You're doing the best you can at making your boss think that you know what you're doing. That's what the law is. You know, if you followed the law, maybe you could find a relationship with God and put the law behind you. That's what Christ came and reestablished the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart. Be baptized. Circumcise the heart. Verse 5, that I may perform the oath which I have sworn unto your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day. Then answered I, and said, so be it, O Lord, I will go and tell them. And the Lord said unto me, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear ye the words of this covenant, and do them. For I earnestly protested unto your fathers in that day, I brought them out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, rising early and protesting, saying, obey my voice. God has, and if you've been with us here on Between the Lines, you'll see over and over and over God just coming and telling that you got to straighten up, kids. You got to straighten up. You got to do what you're supposed to do. And verse 8 is going to jump right into the millennial period. You got to understand that Jeremiah jumps all around, and Jeremiah is not like one of the books of the New Testament that was set down and penned in 1 hour or, you know, over a course of a day, like a letter to a church. This is over the entire course of his life as a prophet. Verse 8, yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked every one in the imagination of their evil heart. Therefore I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And we see in other places in this Bible where the law will be administered by Christ during the millennial period, and it's right there because they refused to follow his ordinances. Stubborn. And that which I commanded them to do, but they did them not. And that imagination of their evil heart equates to stubbornness. God calls them a very stiff-necked people. I hope he doesn't call you a stiff-necked Christian. That means one who's religious, but just doesn't quite get it and refuses to enter into that personal relationship with God. And that's all he wants. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words. And they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant, which I made with their fathers. Not only could they ignore God's word that comes from his prophets. Remember Ahab, Jonathan? Go away. Don't come here. Talk to Elijah. Yep. We don't want to hear what you have to say.
Yep.
Whenever you come and say things, bad things happen. Just be quiet.
All the good times come to an end.
Be quiet. Go away. That's what he's saying there. They refuse to hear my words. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. I will bring evil upon them. Ah, that's enlightening there, isn't it, Christian? You didn't hear that in church, did you? Satan is the author of evil. Not always. God says, I will bring evil upon them. Because what does a good father do? A good father chastises his children. He doesn't call the evil neighbor Bill next door, come over here and beat my kids. Mm-hmm. Which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble, because they're all made of stone and wood. For according to the number of the cities where they thy gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. According to that description, they got little Baal centers on every corner. Mm-hmm. I mean, get your Baal worship here. You know, we got the newest altar in town.
Mm-hmm. The mobile archway. Yeah. They move around. And
they legitimate have some mobile Baal altars.
Yeah. They do it to this day still.
Therefore, pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Wow. He's telling Jeremiah not to even waste your time praying for them. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many, and the holy flesh is passed from thee? Question. When thou doest evil, then thou rejoicest. Oh, they're very happy in their lives away from God, and God is not very happy with their lives away from him, because they belong to him. You belong to him, Christian. You were made for a purpose, to bring joy and to worship the Almighty God. Don't ever believe that. You must get up every day and commune with him. Maybe just in the mind, talking with him always. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, bare and the goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves, to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. We've talked about this many times. The Ten Commandments, the moral aspect of the Levitical law, is wonderful for anyone to follow. And 2 through 10, God can make a way for you when you break them. But number 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He gets very, very angry.
It's the first thing that came to his mind to tell them not to do.
Yes. That's number 1. Yeah. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it, and I know it. Then thou showedest me their doings. But I was like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter, and I knew not that they had devised devices against me. Huh? Jeremiah getting a little intelligence. Well, he didn't. He's saying he didn't realize they're gonna try to do me in, just like Ahab and Elijah. Go away. We don't like you here. Well, these guys taking one step. They got liars in wait, waiting for old Jeremiah. But you know what? When you're doing God's work, you don't have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. Put on the armor. And remember that one prophet? God said, I will clothe you in my armor. Nothing will be able to harm you.
Just walk. Don't carry a sword. Just go.
Saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. But, O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that thou die not by our hand. God says, I will protect you, the Levites and the priests of the time, in name only. We've already realized that God divorced the Levites a long time ago because they began preaching for profit. And you thought that was something the televangelists made up. No. Mm-mm. The Levites fell in love with money a long time ago. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. The young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by famine. There shall be no remembrance of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Yes, God protects his own, those who are following him with all their heart, and Jeremiah absolutely was, and you see that he mentions the heart there. God has knowledge of what goes on in the heart. He that trieth the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them. Yes, and that's what this entire Old Testament is about. The heart, the original first covenant, the everlasting covenant that Christ was under. And your preacher, I know he told you he was under the law, but he wasn't. If you read this book earnestly, he was under the original everlasting covenant that I give to thee, Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Otherwise, when Christ worked on the Sabbath, he would have been sinful. And we all know, had he had one sin, and you know, people try to tell you that Christ had a sin.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of them are, he drank wine. Well, that's not a sin. And my mother will prove it. She'll say the wine didn't have alcohol in it back then. Mm-hmm. Tell old Noah that. He'd had a hard year on that boat.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the smells, Jonathan?
Oh, my gosh.
First thing he thought about, I got to get a vineyard planted.
Yeah. Yeah, as far away from the opening of that ark as possible.
And I'm sure in God's amazing heart that he allowed that vineyard to grow quickly.
Yeah.
Because basically he says, Noah opened the boat and planted a vineyard.
And he sent her with the seed is in his hand.
Chapter 12, Book of Jeremiah. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk to thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Yeah, and Christians have asked me over the years, why is evil prosper? And it's asking right here, why does the way of the wicked prosper, Lord? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? You know why? because the spirit man is asleep in the wicked, and this flesh is having a party. Let your spirit man go to sleep, Christian, and he has on occasion, and you know it if you're a truthful person. Started with that big gorging of fried chicken after church on Sunday. You know, one or two pieces is absolutely fine. All things in moderation, Paul says. But the whole bird? Come on. That spirit man was in a coma before you got home. Mm-hmm. The flesh was happy and fat. Oh, and then the next time you sat down at the fried chicken dinner, you had another piece. Oh, before long, your dinner at the... Well, you got to go to buffets then, because the dinner's getting very expensive at the, you know, purchase off the menu. Mm-hmm. It's fine, that big giant buffet that's open on Sundays. Put your spirit man in a coma. That is the entranceway drug to spiritual obesity. When your spirit man goes to sleep, the flesh is in control. That's a dangerous place to be.
Literally why the flesh starts to go to sleep when you eat too much.
Yes.
Because it's shutting your spirit down.
Absolutely. Yeah. People joke about it. Oh, in a food coma. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
yeah. Yeah. Your conduit to God's in a coma too.
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Jeremiah is searching for a little understanding of why evil is prospering here. He's saying God has planted them, and God does use evil men, as we've seen over the years, evil kings and rulers, to punish his children. God is the author of everything. He's in control of everything, good, bad, or indifferent. But thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Yes, and that is absolutely where they are headed, those who do not know the Lord. How long shall the land mourn, and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. For thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee. Then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? It's he's asking God questions here. I mean, how Lord, you don't deal with them, the little evil men. How are you going to deal with the big evil men? It's just a lot of soul searching here. For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Jeremiah is actually wanting God to just wipe the slate clean, wipe them out, be done with them, and let's get on to having a wonderful world, which God's not going to do because he's gone through this over and over. He's already done the wiping out and the starting new and the wiping out and the starting new, and it always ends the same way. His children are disobedient. He has to keep the line there until Christ comes and takes the throne of David, and a righteous judge is right here in the world with them. It's the only way to rule over a stiff-necked, disobedient children. The king has to be present. Even when God was in the camp behind the veil, you know, actually not seeing him, but they know, they see the presence of him, the smoke and the light. They know he's there. And still, as soon as the smoke left, he's gone. Party!
Yeah.
But when the king is there, Christ, sitting on that throne, able to lay hands on you, it'll be a different story. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forests. It crieth out against me. Therefore have I hated it. Ah, what did God just answer there to Jeremiah? Because they're so disobedient, I have caused them to do this. They are a wasted nation at this point. Therefore I have hated them. Don't ever get to the point, Christian, that God hates you. Okay, because he gets to the point of hating his children here. remembering the beauty of his children when he created them and they followed after him, and then hating the state that they are in at this time. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastures have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. Wow. They have been led astray by the men of God. Little g, because they're not actually following God. False doctrines, preaching for profit. What is God saying here, Jonathan, about if a pastor preaches the false doctrine, he equates him to murderers,
yes,
and thieves.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Accountable for every soul.
Yeah. Can you imagine that? False pastor, you get up there at Judgment Day, and the judge says, you're accused of murder. Oh, whoa, wait a minute here. I didn't kill anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You did? You didn't read the book.
Mm-hmm.
The book says a pastor who spouts false gospels, false word of God, is equated to a murderer and a robber, because you are killing. And that's what he's saying here. Many pastors have destroyed my people. They have killed my people. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant place a desolate wilderness, because only the true word of God will prosper. These false doctrines these pastors were preaching, like these feel-good evangelists on television.
Yes.
The feel-good doctrine, Mr. Olstein. You have such a beautiful smile, buddy, but the words that come out of your mouth do not cement anyone in the Word of God.
Mm-mm.
They make you feel good about picking up trash along the highway in your neighborhood, smiling at your neighbor when you come out to pick up the newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Word of God is missing there.
Yes, sir. It's just like verse number 2 there, and I'm not trying to throw off shade in any kind of direction, but what I got out of verse number 2 in chapter 12 is it's lip service and there's no spirit behind it.
Yeah, thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth.
Speaking yep. good things,
yep.
but far from
yep.
their reins.
Yep.
So they're speaking without the spiritual connection.
Yeah, they bring forth fruit. Yeah, and then that goes to the church, 7 churches of Revelation in 3 and 4. Christ says, I know you. I know the fruits of your labor. Some are good, but your doctrine is off base.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're wearing the Christ, our King bowling jacket, doesn't mean you're bowling strikes every time, okay? You got to make sure you get into the Word of God. You got to read it over and over and over, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go up there and spout things that are not from this book. Perceptions of men that you've been told come out of this book. Oh, I used to do that myself. Oh, you're drinking, you're going to hell. I was a child on the playground sending my friends to hell. You know, you said a bad word, you're on your way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, if God were only that petty,
right.
It would be a horrible, horrible God to follow. But he's not. Follow me with all your heart. Paul says, all things are legal for the Christian. Not all things are good for the Christian. And if you're following God with all your heart, you know the difference. And keep all things in moderation. And live under the original first covenant reestablished by Christ. Absolute freedom. That Paul says, does now he continues and says, does that give me a license to sin? Absolutely not. Because when I do sin, because I'm going to sin, because I'm a human being, I'm in a flesh body that has the seed of the serpent invested in the mind. When I do sin, God is going to lay the rod to my back, as a good father does. But am I going to hell? As I was under the law, Pentecostal, cling to Christ's perfect salvation and still hold on to the law. Dangerous situation to be in. This Bible says so. God says, I gave this law in vain. Does you no good? It was supposed to turn you around and point you toward me. To establish a personal relationship, follow me with your heart. Leave the law behind.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.